science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of ThinkWorks, the place where we like to do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week I want to, with the impending release of my book, You 2.0, Build Yourself Better, I want to take a look at one of the ideas that I contain within that book, which is namely the importance of having a vision. Now, before you start rolling your eyes, I'm not talking about the vision of a corporate company that has a really mundane type of we will make the best widgets in the world type of vision. We don't want that. But whether it's your personal life or your professional life, having a clearly defined vision in language that excites you can be really, really important. And if you don't own a business and you're working for someone else, if you manage a team, for example, or you manage a department, even just having a clear idea of a vision for your organization or part of the organization can be just as important. And this is, I think, the key distinction I want to get across, because people do tend to think that visions only belong either to a corporate boardroom or some kind of religious zealot who's been in the desert too long. But to think that is to ignore a fundamental law of the universe, which is namely, if one doesn't have one's own vision to follow, you'll find yourself striving towards someone else's vision, and that is true for your personal life as much as it is for your work life. But what I want to get across is that having a clearly defined vision that is countered in words that excite you and motivate you, it can be a real powerful motivator. It just creates a real excitement and momentum, and it can become a driver for change. So I want you to just stop and consider this for a moment. When you were at your best, when you've been at your best, your most unstoppable, hasn't that been when you've had a clear idea of what it was you wanted or needed to achieve? You weren't willing to quit until the job was done, time seemed to fly, you wouldn't take no for an answer, and you wouldn't get slowed down by negatives from those around you either. And these successes have arisen from ad hoc and narrow visions of that particular outcome that you were after. Just imagine what you could do in your life or your business or your organization if you had a clearly defined set of visions for your entire life. And this is the key thing. It doesn't matter what kind of business or project it is, whether it's corporate, small, medium enterprise, third sector, statutory agency, a new or startup company, a one-person band. There's very little difference between how you create a vision for them than for your own family. You must have a vision for what it is you want to do. And it's really key that your vision excites you, it's counted in language that excites you, and if it's a business, your team or your fellow staff members, and if it's your family, the rest of your family, including your children as well. Because you will find that if you haven't got a clearly defined idea of what it is you want your family to be, then other people will step in, and actually your children will start to learn from what they want if they're clearly defined. I'm talking specifically about gangs here. And you need to actually have a great vision for your family that involves your children and that they've bought into. Now, I want to make a point here. In one of the chapters, in the previous chapter to the one I'm discussing here, I talk about bringing emotion into business and actually how having the right kind of emotion brought into your business world is a really good thing. And that, I know it goes against everything we've been taught to believe about business, particularly in the UK, but emotion is good when it's used in the right way and in the right places. And when it comes to a vision, nowhere is having emotion in your way that you set about creating that vision more important. So, for example, how many of us have seen a vision like this one where it says, XYZ Corporation will be the best widget manufacturer in the world? If that is your company vision, how excited would you be about going into work every morning to work towards that vision? Do you jump out of bed and go, Zoe, I can't wait to make a better widget today? I don't think so. And yet that's how you often look at creating a vision, whether, as I said, whether it's for your professional or personal life. And then you've got the other type of vision, the one that says ABC Corporation will strive to exceed all expectations for customer service and product excellence whilst meeting the financial obligations due to its shareholders and achieving primary market dominance. How many visions have you seen like that one? Now, that's the kind of one that excites the board, and it's the one that they trot out in front of their shareholders. It means nothing to the people on the ground. It just isn't couched in language that is likely to excite or motivate anyone to work harder for your organization. It's the same whether you do that for your department, your team, as I've said, or your project, or even your family. So it's better, you need to actually create a language and a set of words that excite you, and you need to roll that out and test it with the people that you also want to involve in, you know, giving their weight behind achieving that vision. I've said what it shouldn't be. What should a vision include then? One, it must be in plain English. Just don't have jargon, don't have abbreviations, don't have all these highfalutin kind of consultancy type words. Just don't. Make it plain English. That's rule number one. Rule number two, it must use emotive language. I'm not suggesting you go down the route of we will rip the faces off the competition. That might be a step too far. But choose words that excite and motivate and create momentum. Take the vision out of the boardroom, right? So by that, I mean, get your staff, get your customers even, get your partners involved. Let them take the lead, in fact, and say, what is it that you want this company to do for you? And if it's your family, exactly the same process. Get your other family members or your friends involved and see, and just say, what is it that we want to achieve as a family going forward, and get everyone to buy into that. Lastly, don't try to make it perfect from the off. There's no such thing as perfect anyway, and if you spend months and months trying to craft a word perfect vision, you're going to lose momentum, you're going to overthink it, and you're also going to iron out some of the emotion that you're trying to create. Go with what feels right in your gut to start with. You can always tweak it as you go along. And this is the other thing that I want you to know about a vision. It shouldn't be done once and that's it. It's on a plaque on the wall and it never changes. Life changes, circumstances changes, organizations change direction all the time. Just look at Apple and IBM. So they, you know, you need to create a vision that you can, yes, it motivates you in the here and now and it motivates you in the near future, but always be aware that at some point you may need to actually come up with a brand new vision to enable you to move either in a new direction or even in the same direction but to the next level up. As an example, here's a first stab I had at a vision for my company, the Inform Group. So what I initially did was I put, the Inform Group is here to enable you, our clients, to be the best you can be, and everything we do comes from that simple premise. We are setting the standard for business and learning services, and we want work and learning to be fun, ethical, and beneficial for all. We define success and greatness in these terms. Now, I liked that initial stab that I had, but I tweaked it again. I went back to it, and I thought, you know what? That might be something that means a lot to me, but it doesn't necessarily mean a lot to everyone else. So I changed it, and currently it just looks like this. To break down silos and challenge the status quo so that we can see a better way and to have fun doing it. That's where I'm at the moment. I may have tweaked by the time this podcast goes out even. I may well have tweaked it a little bit more. But I wanted something that just basically said what I'm about, what I want to do, and look for like-minded people who want to do the same. I'm looking for people who want to challenge the status quo. I'm looking for people who think that work and learning should be done in a completely different way than it is right now. And it's not about winners and losers. It's about looking at the pie and making a bigger pie for everyone to have an equal share. It's not socialism. It's not communism. It's about actually using capitalism for what it was originally designed for, rather than what it is right now, which is basically to make some rich people who are already rich and powerful, it feeds their greed to make them more powerful and even richer without actually helping the wider community or world even. And that's where we're at. We haven't got capitalism today. It's greed. And that's what I want to challenge. So, an exercise for you to do when we've finished today then. So I call it, in the book, I call it Take a Bite. And in each chapter, there is a little exercise for you to do. Nothing onerous, but for this particular chapter, it is basically, if your current company vision doesn't make you feel like getting up on a morning, scrap it and start again. If you haven't got a vision, take a stab at one. Then ask people what they think. Refine it. If you have people working for you, email it to them all and explain that you don't think it's quite right either and what can they suggest. Run workshops. The bigger the team that you manage or business or department that you manage, then you're going to need to run workshops and get your employees involved, including temporary staff who can often, and cleaning staff and receptionists. Everyone should be involved because everyone has got a unique experience that might be really useful to bring to that definition of what your vision should be. Above all, keep the language simple but emotive and make the whole process an event. Make it fun and make sure you follow up on the outcomes on a regular basis. Now, vision's really important to make sure that you've got, especially in a business context, because it both reminds and reinforces within yourself, your management team, your staff, your partners and clients exactly what your organisation is here to do. Secondly, it allows you to tweak the vision by involving other people and making it a living part of your organisation rather than that plaque on the wall, because it becomes even more of a motivator if it's constantly being refreshed and looking at you and saying, we need to move on to the next level now. And it allows you to be flexible to capture any changes in your market or organizational focus. And it makes you nimble, whereas other companies that have had the same vision for the last 30 years, because that's the way they've always done things, it makes it more difficult for them to change direction quickly to adapt to changing market situations and circumstances. And thirdly, and this is critical, it reminds everyone and subconsciously installs the belief that the organization itself is a living, breathing, and changing entity. And as such, change is part of the order of life and should not be feared. All those three reasons are just as equally important in your personal life and in your family life. I mean, I'm still not happy with my vision. It's almost right. It said what we do, how we plan to do it, and what our ethos as an organization is, but it isn't perfect still. And I just need to tweak it a little bit more and take it out to some more people now and see what they think. I'm in that process right now. But I think as an initial stab that, you know, here to challenge the status quo, that motivates me. That gets me up out of bed every morning. And I want you to remember, I think it was Proverbs, where there is no vision, people perish. You will also find useful quotes in the chapters of my book, U2.0. So each chapter follows the same format. So you get an explanation as to why we need to change a certain aspect of our life, whether it's professional or personal. There is an exercise for you to do. There are words of wisdom. And there's also, at the end, there's a common questions type of ending to each chapter where I try to put myself in your mind and what questions you might have to me once you've read that chapter. And I try to answer them in the chapter. Just wrapping this up then, I just want to come back to this idea that everyone must own your vision. Yes, you've created the initial stab. You involve then everyone that's involved in that organisation or family life to actually have their buy-in and their suggestions. Because if they've had a buy-in to the creation of that vision, they're more likely to feel an attachment to it and be loyal to that initial vision. And so long as the understanding is created that in a year, 2 years, 6 months down the line, if something major happens in our marketplace, the Ukraine war, for example, which changed all the energy supply and also food supplies with the wheat that was lost, then we may need to change that vision again to take into account those changes and those enforced directional changes in our business as well. I mean, think about it. If you've done your initial creation of the vision, you've then run it past your employees or family members, you've then taken it out a little bit wider to your suppliers and to your clients or to your friends and other members of family, if you're doing it for a family, you get them all to buy in. You can, even in a business context, you can actually change this into a massive PR event, because you can have an event where you wine and dine your clients or potential clients and don't sell to them. Instead, you show them your current working on your vision, you explain the ethos behind it, and ask them for their feedback. Position your organization as the one who wants to truly align with the needs of its clients and serve their needs. And do not try to sell them. Do not try to sell them at the event. That's critical. This is who we are, folks. Hope you like it. But we're willing to accept feedback, and we'll feed that into the process as well. And then once you've done all that, you go and have another event to come up with the final outcome. And just remember all that, because they will put you with that process as in the top of their mind awareness. I call it TOMA, top of mind awareness. And you're creating that within your clients, or potential clients in particular. This is a company that's different. This is a company that involves me in the process of defining what it is that I actually want and need. And that is priceless. And if it's your family, it's the same thing. If you involve your children, especially if they're becoming teenagers, and you've got something that they've fed into, that they co-own with you, and they look at that vision for the family, it makes them feel more connected and more involved and more listened and understood by their parent. And I think that's really important. And it's same with your partners as well. And I've got another set of words of wisdom for you. When you have a clear vision in your life, you'll stop wasting time on things that are not serving your dreams, your goals, or your aspirations. And that's Dean Gratiosi, the coach, the life coach and knowledge industry expert, that has given quite a lot of tools away free. And that's a great quote. I have added that into the book recently, because he only said it recently, and I just thought that's a great quote, and that just fits so well into this chapter. So when you have a clear vision for your life, you'll stop wasting time on the things not serving your dreams, your goals, or your aspirations. He's a wise man, and I couldn't have put it better myself. I hope you found that interesting, and it's a quick run through. There's more detail in the book, as I've said. The book isn't out yet. It'll be out in time for the start of the next tax year, because that's when I'm going to really springboard the redefined Darren Inform vehicle, the Inform Group, into the vehicle that then takes forward what I want to do and how I want to do it, and a more elegant process. Something I had to do, because I had to redesign that vehicle because of changes in my life. So all that is now taken into account. I'm going to be rolling out some exciting new services and products in the new tax year, starting with the book U2.0, which together with this ThinkWorks podcast is going to be really the main vehicle for taking forward ideas and concepts that I want to promote and push out there. And I'm looking for like-minded people to come and join me in that. Now, as always, there will be a post in the ThinkWorks forum, which is darreninform.com/ThinkWorks forum, and there'll be a post for this particular episode. You go in there, you make your comments, and if you want to join me in helping to create a new environment in which we conduct business, which is as far away from the apprentice as possible, then just let me know. We'll have a conversation. Contact details are on my website as well, darreninform.com. And we'll take it from there. But in the meantime, please go and create a vision. Put your first stabs in that forum post for me to have a look at, and I can help you maybe work out how you would change it or tweak it, or if it's perfect, I will tell you it's perfect. Just use me as a sounding board for that kind of stuff. I really would appreciate being involved on that level, because I just want people to understand there is a different way to work. We only improve by looking for ways that we can improve. And that means asking questions and asking for advice and help and trying new things. And that is really where I'm going over the next year. As I said, with the Darren Inform business platform, the book, the podcast, the speeches that I've got lined up now, which I will be bringing out from April. So it's going to be an exciting year. Come and join me for the ride. And I can promise you a few laughs along the way. Sometimes intentional laughs at that. But in the meantime, everyone, just remember, keep asking questions more than anything else in the world. Keep asking questions, even from the people who don't want you to ask questions. And I would suggest, in particular, you ask questions of those people. Thanks, everyone, and I'll see you next week.
Would like to find out more or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for at Darren Inform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to Think Works, the podcast for thinkers.